It's episode number 200, baby!
Yeah!
Hit it, boys!
I don't know what I'm doing. Still, after 200 episodes! Okay,
cut it!
No, seriously, how do you turn this thing off? How do you get... No, cut. Stop. Okay,
cut it!
Okay, all right. It finally cut off. Welcome to episode number 200. This is a VO's Journey podcast. My name is Anthony Pica. We are doing it right now. I'm so excited. It has been 200 episodes. Thank you all so much for being a part of this incredible journey so far, and hopefully just the beginning of even more to come down the road. Today, we've got an awesome podcast for you today. I'm going to be talking to you about this journey. I don't know if you have listened to all the podcasts, but you know, a lot of things that have gotten me to this point have, you know, of course, still not been told. And, you know, I'd love to share some of that with you today and hopefully some of my thoughts moving forward. Also, we're going to have a cool giveaway. I'm going to give away some coaching with me one-on-one time so that you can, you know, pick my brain, ask questions where you are in your business, and we can get you rolling in voiceover. All right, let's do it.
This is VO's Journey. With your host, the incomparable Anthony Pica.
All right, we are back. And wow, 200 episodes, you guys. What a crazy ride it has been so far. Started this back in 2017, April 4th, my birthday. I was sitting around on my couch thinking to myself, I really need to get back into acting. I need to do something creative. I'm going nuts at my job. I was feeling lost. I wasn't happy with what I was doing, even though things were good. I mean, you know, we weren't not eating, had a beautiful family, and, you know, we had, you know, money each month, but I just wasn't happy. You know, I wasn't feeling like I was doing what I was meant to do. So I started looking around, and lo and behold, I came across a video by Earl Hall. That's right. I think it was Earl Hall video on voiceovers on ACX. And I saw this video and I thought, oh my gosh, I could do voiceovers for audiobooks. Why not? I love audiobooks. I'm going to check out some more. So then all of a sudden I just started watching YouTube video after YouTube video of everything I could eat up. Anybody that I found on YouTube that was talking about voiceover, I ate up, and then it started to happen where I was like, hey, I need recording equipment. I need a booth. And at the time, I still didn't have any idea what I was doing or what type of microphone I needed or what booth I needed. So I dove into more videos and I found some guy building a PVC pipe structure using packing blankets in his I think it was his like third floor attic or something, because he wanted to record his guitar or something in a treated space. And I was like, oh, that could work for voiceover. So, you know, it was my birthday. I'd gotten a $200 gift card to Lowe's from my mom. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go build a PVC pipe and packing blanket fort to do my voice recording in. And I went out, I bought the stuff, I measured my desk and my space in my house, which we were in a different house at that time, a lot smaller house, and I measured it out, and I cut the PVC pipe, got the packing blankets. And then I was like, how do I hang the packing blankets? You know, it's so much funny when we're starting out, there's so many little things that seem so important to us, like obstacles to overcome. And, you know, it's funny, as this business has gone on, each obstacle you overcome, right? It's another hurdle that you jump, and every obstacle you overcome is more and more fuel you can add to the fire, right? It builds your confidence. So I found these, you know, plastic clips from Lowe's and your grips, and that's how I hung up my booth. Now, it had to be portable because I had to put it up and take it down every night. Where I was located in my house, we had the computer in, so we had three rooms on the bottom floor and then two rooms on the top floor. So it was a two-story, but it was a total of about, I don't know, 1,000 or 1,100 feet total with both floors. And on the bottom floor, we had three rooms. One was kind of like a study room, like a study, and then that went into the kitchen, which also then went into the family room. That was the downstairs. And then upstairs, there was the master bedroom and then the kids' bedroom, but they were about equal size. And then one of those walk through bathrooms. All right. So we shared a bathroom in the house, and it was because of where we could have the computer at the time, because, you know, we didn't have a lot of closet space because closets were small. I had to put it in the study room. Well, again, the problem with the study room was it was right next to the kitchen and there was no doors. Like, they were thoroughfares, you know, like open spaces. There wasn't a door there, so I couldn't close it. So that means, like, I had to literally have this big hobo fort, which I started calling, I think my wife started calling, my kids did, something, I don't know, or I did, I don't know what it was. But anyways, we called it our hobo fort, and I literally was blocking the space between the kitchen, like the space to get into the kitchen. So it couldn't stay up, you know, I couldn't leave it up. I had to put it up and take it down every single night. I started at about 10 p.m. That was after the family and everybody went to bed, and I worked till about 2 or 3 every single morning. And, you know, those beginning months, you know, I look back at, and I think at the time I was so hungry. You know, I was so hungry to get started and to get work. I did just about anything I could. I did ACX was my main squeeze. I did so many books, constantly recording. I'll never forget the first book I got. It was so exciting to me. And then, you know, I kind of booked a deal with this. I mean, it wasn't you can't call them a publishing company, but they were an indie publisher that basically dealt with this. At the time, this was kind of becoming semi-popular, but it was these massive books were coming out and they were looking to create summary books, like hour or less long books, audio books or books of these, like, you know, 10, 12, 15 hour books from people like, you know, Tony Robbins and just huge books, right, coming out by people. And people were like, they're too long. So summary books were kind of born out of that. And, you know, I started working on those, and one thing led to another, and I just kept working and working. And this was like, you know, with my $40 microphone, I got one of those blue snowball mics. It was black, it's round, and it had some buttons. It's funny, I don't even know. I'd had to go back and look and see what the buttons were. I imagine now, because I didn't know what then, I didn't even know what they meant at the time. I was always like, though, if I click this button, it makes me louder. I think it was probably like a 15 or 20 dB boost on the pad for the microphone, but I didn't know that at the time. I just knew if I clicked this button, it made me sound louder. So I always click that button. However, because of how I set it up, it did have a 1/4-inch thread hole on the bottom, so you could put it on a separate stand, you know what I mean? So I had like a full mic stand, and because I wanted to be able to stand up in my booth. So of course I had to build my hobo fort at least 6 feet tall, and then it was 6 feet tall, but the blankets on top, you know, sag down. So I'm only about 5'8", so it's not like, but it was an extra 4 inches was helpful. Anyways, you know, I had that, and I kept popping. So, you know, I didn't even know what a pop filter was until I tried to figure out why can't I get these sounds out, you know, and I kept watching. And that's when I got the idea to build a coat hanger pop filter out of pantyhose and a wire coat hanger. And that was, you know, it's funny. I look back on it, I was so proud of that. I was so proud of building that. My wife helped me, and, you know, I wrapped it around the mic stand. And I laugh just because I think about how crazy that was. But, you know, it was so like pure and raw. It was great. I mean, it really was awesome. And I think back and I'm so happy that I went through that process of learning and everything. But it wasn't too long after that, a couple months, that again, my mom, because I wasn't making any money, sprung for a Rode NT1A microphone. And I got that, which was so cool because that was like my first condenser microphone. But then I was like, oh, I need an audio box. I need a interface, right? So I got the Presonus audio box. And that's a $99 audio box, interface, which is called the audio box. And, you know, I had that for a while. And, you know, it's a great mic. It's a good mic to start off on. I mean, either the Rode NT1A or the Rode NT1, depending on how bright you like it or not, they're great mics to start with, you know, and they're affordable. They're a couple $100. And of course, their anniversary kit really works out well. So at the time, I was super excited. I was like big time. I had that and, you know, it was really cool. And then I got this crazy notion, I'm going to buy a $1,000 microphone. Because I heard people talk about this Sennheiser MKH416 microphone that was just so good. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want this microphone. So of course I, you know, didn't make $1,000 in my business. So I had to go ahead and just purchase it. I did not tell my wife, and she would have killed me if she knew I purchased it at the time. And thank goodness it worked out. But, you know, it was kind of one of those things where I went out on a limb and I purchased this thing and, you know, did what I thought I needed to do. And I realized, you know, there was a point where I started realizing, and some of you might be going through some of this right now, that when I first started out, I remember the struggle of time. I remember the struggle of not having a lot of time with my wife, with my kids. And, you know, people may be questioning, you know, my spouse or my kids or other family members, you know, like parents or you know, your spouse's parents, maybe, you know, cousins, whatever, questioning why you are doing this. Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you doing all this stuff? Why don't you just stop and focus on something else? This is just a waste of time. And I realized that after I was, you know, I was frustrated about that, of course. But at the time, I did slowly realize that it was my responsibility to, and I've talked about this before, to prove what I was doing was going to work. I had to first prove it to myself because I didn't know how far it would go. At the time, I really just wanted to be paid to act again. You know, it had been such a long time. I had been a teacher for a while. I love teaching, coaching, directing actors, but I missed performing myself. And it was difficult. You know, I live in Virginia, so it's and I don't live like up by DC. I live down in southeastern Virginia. So, you know, there's some places to perform, but it's not a place like New York or LA where you go, you know what I mean, where there's a lot of business for actors. So, you know, it's a challenge to get back into that. And I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. I could, you know, run a business, you know, do acting. You know, I tried so many businesses before, whether they were, you know, and when I say tried so many businesses, you know, I'm not talking like, you know, $1 million businesses here. I mean, like, you know, I try an internet website, or I try to, you know, sell baseball cards or something, you know, just crazy stuff, whatever I could do. You know, I spent like a year just learning about stocks and, you know, the stock market and, you know, dividends and, you know, calls and puts and all kinds of different stuff. I did all kinds of stuff. I even bought a cafe at one point, and I ran a cafe for about 2 years. I mean, I tried to do everything. You know, I always went back to teaching. But you know, I tried to do so much because I loved business. It never dawned on me until that fateful day of April, of April 4th, 2017, that I should build a business. Now, don't ask me why, because, you know, I'm an idiot, but I should build a business around my acting. And I think at the time, of course, I wasn't thinking about voiceover. I mean, voiceover is one of those things where even now, right, we go and we say, hey, I'm a voice actor. They're like, really? What's that? People still have no idea. Like, what do you mean you're a voice actor? What do you do? You know, it's like, you know, it's not one of those, you know, jobs that you know, people wake up, I'm going to be a voice actor, you know, right? I mean, it's still kind of, you know, people are still like, oh, wow, that's so cool. You know what I mean? I was thrilled to put the two together and it clicked. But, you know, I tried so many things. So, of course, I had to bear the brunt of worry and fear and doubt of my family. And they had every right to be like that. And if you're going through something like that right now, just know that that's okay. It's okay and it's perfectly normal because people, you know, our families can be worried for us. They can be scared. They can be frightened that something bad's going to happen or, you know, you're going to lose something you worked for or, you know, and I had to sacrifice a lot. You know, my wife sacrificed a lot to help me build my business, even though she wasn't directly involved in like the voiceovers. Although she did a couple here and there, but she was never really directly involved in the business, but she ran the rest of the house and, you know, did a lot with the kids while I was in the booth doing a lot of work, you know, and I had to, you know, she probably asked, what the hell is my husband doing to herself many times? I wouldn't blame her. I probably would have asked the same thing. But I'm just telling you this because I know I get a lot. This is kind of like that part of voiceover that a lot of people don't talk about, or maybe building a business. I have people who talk to me about that privately, or they ask questions, or occasionally it'll come up in a live chat when we're on YouTube for Fiverr Fridays. But it's one of those things where, you know, I recall those moments that are tough. But we only share a lot of times the moments of success. But it's those moments that are tough, like when you get in a quarrel with your spouse or your family, or you're having a bad day at work and you get in a fight with your boss or a fight with a coworker, and, you know, or you hurt yourself. Something's wrong. You're not feeling good. You're sick. And then you got to go to your booth and record a voiceover about you being so happy about something. You're like, how can I do this? How can I fake it? You know, how can I actually, I feel like crap. There's no way I can go in here and be like, hey, welcome to, you know, Stanley's Pizza. You know what I mean? I remember those moments. Those were tough. And those moments where, you know, I look at them as like decisions, points in time that you have to make a decision to say, listen, I know it's tough. I know people are scared. I have to take that responsibility because I would venture to say anyone who is successful, all right, in life, no matter what it is and no matter what way you determine success, had to cross adversity, had to go through some sort of hell to get through the other side, right? You couldn't go around hell. You had to walk through it. And that's what makes success so exciting. Because we know that we had to go through that. And when I say hell, I mean, you know, the times where we're struggling, the times where we don't get business, the times where customers treat us like crap, the times where we're emotionally just struggling, the times where we don't even want to get out of bed. I mean, 2020 was a mess, right? I mean, 2021 is crazy, but we're slowly coming out of, I mean, it's not 2020. I mean, I think it'll be forever be told, hey, it's not 2020, right? I mean, it's not 2020. It can't be that bad. I mean, you know, that's how I feel. And I think it's our jobs to take that responsibility on. And if you're in that place, you know, I know it's tough to keep going when it seems like everybody's on your back, or it seems like people don't understand, or it seems like your family might be upset with you, or it seems like you're worried that you can't be with your kids, or you feel guilty about not doing XYZ. But I can tell you one thing. I don't remember where I found this. I don't remember. But I remember what it said. And it was like, you know, kids, they actually do 10 times better. Not if they see you more, but if you're happy with what you're doing. Yeah, of course, we want to see our family more. Absolutely. And I'm not saying we don't see our family more. But what I'm saying is you being happy, content, full from the life you're living and what you're doing shows our kids and our family more, I think, than any amount of time and you know, fakeness or just trying to barrel through. I mean, what are we teaching our kids or our family if we just barrel through life and never fully, you know, going for it? And I think that's what happened to me. And that's why I started this voiceover business in the first place. Because I was tired of just barreling through, faking it. Everything was great. Everything was okay. It wasn't. And not with my family. My family, we were fine, but it was inside. It was something inside. And it's something you can't explain to someone, because you try to explain it and they're like, why aren't you happy? Or, you know, whatever, or they don't want to talk to you, especially if you were like me. And I was always trying to explain how I felt. But whenever I talked about it, it was just probably annoying. Right? It was annoying to listen to me talk about why I felt confused about my path, or why I felt like I should be more than what I currently was. You know what I mean? And then there's the doubt. Can you actually do more? Can you be more? So I just wanted to, you know, share with you that, because I think that, again, I look back after these 200 episodes on this podcast and what has happened to my business and, you know, where I am in 2021 to where I started in 2017 and the life we were living. I mean, we have a new house now, a new space, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, cars. Not fancy cars, but, you know, we're in such a different place. You know, don't worry about money. That's such not the life that I ever lived my entire life. You know, I wasn't on the street, you know, begging for food, but I'm saying that, you know, it was always paycheck to paycheck. I was always in massive debt, you know, living from credit cards and stuff like that. You know, even though my wife and I both worked, you know what I mean? It was kind of living a life beyond our means. And this is the first time, I think, this is the first time in my entire life, even from when I was young. I mean, my mom worked her butt off. You know, she was a single mom, raised my sister and I. She worked her butt off to provide for us and do everything that she could. But, you know, we had stuff. I mean, we were never, you know, like I said, we were never without, but there was always an issue with money, right? There was always an issue with money. And not having an issue with money now is, I can't explain. All I can say is I wish it for everyone, right? I wish it for everyone that you can experience not necessarily worrying. I'm not trying to say that I got tons of money. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that it's nice to be able to relax from worrying about, are, you know, can we make it with this paycheck to the end of the month? And this business has done that. Now, it took me 4 years to get here. I think you could do it a lot faster if maybe if you listen to all my podcasts, if you watch my videos, if you, you know, learn from my mistakes. I think that, you know, you can move a lot faster, especially with these online platforms and this surge of the gig economy. I mean, there's so much opportunity right now out there for all of us, and, you know, Fiverr and Upwork, and now LinkedIn, who's coming into the fold probably this fall with, being able to offer gigs. You know, we'll be able to offer gigs through LinkedIn, it sounds like. And, you know, this is a different world, you know, that's never been around before. We have access to everyone. There is no barriers for us, right? I work with people all around the world. I know you probably do too, or you have. I mean, it's incredible. And I think that leads me to my next point, and that is, you know, an abundance mindset.
I do see a lot of times, and it saddens me. Now, again, it's okay. We all get down. But I do see a lot of people sometimes saying, oh, there's just no work available. There's too many voice actors in the industry. It's too saturated. Oh, God, now comes out, you know, AI is taking over everything. I knew it. We're screwed. They're going to replace us all. You know, I mean, like, that's in my mind, that mindset. What it does is it's just like the red car effect, all right? Which is like if you say, hey, you know, let's look for red cars, okay? Or you start talking about a red car, you drive down the road, all of a sudden, what are you seeing? Red cars everywhere, okay? And you might say, gosh, look at all these red cars. They're everywhere. They must have just, I mean, it's crazy. They just came out of nowhere. Well, we know that's not true, right? They were always there, but we weren't focusing on it. But when we started focusing on it, we started talking about it out loud, what happened? We started seeing it everywhere. I'm a big lover and admirer of the power that our brains have and messaging that has and the interconnectivity of our minds, right? Like our subconscious and our conscious minds. I'm just a goofball when it comes to that. Like I love it. Like I love the idea of being able to suggest to ourselves things that give us the power to see more things, right? Like if you tell yourself every day there's opportunities everywhere, well, you're going to start seeing opportunities everywhere. Seriously, dead seriously. And you know, it's so funny because I never really believed in that. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, you read these books. I mean, even things like Rich Dad, Poor Dad and these books that are legendary, you know, for if you're trying to get into business or you want to better yourself with self-help books and stuff, you know, they talk about this, you know, mindset or whatever, or you've got to, you know, say it out loud or you've got to repeat, you know, positive affirmations and all these things to yourself. Whereas, again, I don't think saying, you know, $1 million is going to land in front of me. All right. It means that, hey, there's $1 million in front of me. I'm not that dumb. But what I'm trying to say to you is by saying and telling yourself that there are opportunities and looking for opportunities, you will find them. You will. They are there. They are everywhere. Now, there are times when we got to do things where we don't want to. There's times where we got to push past different things. But remember, there is such an abundance. There's over 6 billion people on this planet. There's over 6 billion people. There is an entire world that you and I have access to that we can work with. And the internet has given us this. I mean, it's incredible. It blows my mind. You know, when I'm 1 minute, I'm working with somebody who's in Australia. And the next minute, I'm working with somebody who's in China, and the next moment they're in Japan. I'm working with somebody in Japan. The next moment I'm in the UK. The next moment I'm in Brazil. I mean, it's amazing, right? It's amazing the different places. Israel, I've worked with so many people all over the world. It blows my mind. It's incredible. And because of like Zoom and video sync, they're right in my room with me. Right. And then voiceover. I mean, I've worked with voiceover businesses and people all over the world. Right. And almost 50% of all the countries in the world. That's incredible. I mean, that's just amazing to me. That means you have that ability too. It's possible. You can do it. You must maintain an abundance mindset. It is the only way that you're going to get past all of the naysayers telling you, oh, AI is going to take our business. Oh, there's too many voice actors. Oh, Fiverr is going to kill everything. Oh, I told you this. No, don't do audiobooks, you know, short audiobooks. All that. I mean, we could probably fill an entire, you know, 100-foot wall with all of the things that people told us not to do. And I think I've made a career and been successful doing the opposite of that. Okay, of like people tell me, don't do that, don't do this, don't do, you know, so he's like, why are you telling me not to do it? You know, but anyways, the point I'm trying to make to you is keep that abundance mindset. Keep the abundance mindset, okay? Make it a point to, you know, look for opportunities. Say there are opportunities. Keep your mind open, All right. And what the craziest thing is, they will pop up when you're not even expecting it, because subconsciously your mind is always open and looking for it. Accepting that there is a chance, accepting that it is possible for you to be successful beyond your wildest imagination, just accepting that possibility is such a massive step forward. And it's scary. It takes courage, because none of us want to go down this path and then realize that it was all just some sort of pipe dream and it's not real. And we brought everybody with us, and everybody's now going to think, oh gosh, look at what they've done again. They failed. They're never going to make it. They've wasted all our time. And those are real emotions, but you got to shut that all out. And going back to what I said in the beginning, and I guess this podcast took whatever direction it took for today. Hopefully it's what you needed to hear. But going back to the beginning of this, I realized back then I had to carry all of that on my shoulder. I had to accept that my family was going to be scared and upset and frustrated with me, not because they're bad or mean or awful. They're wonderful. It's because they were nervous and scared for me. But I had to take that on my shoulder. I had to accept it and continue to move forward, because I had to prove it. I had to prove it to myself. I had to prove it to them. You have to do the same. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the reality of taking responsibility for your success and your future, because no one is going to be there to help you up, all right, when you need to help yourself up first. Does that make sense? Like, you need to help yourself up first. Your family will be there for you. People that love you will be there for you, but they'll only be there if you are willing to put in the effort. Like, it's emotional to me, because it means a lot to me. For the longest time, I thought it wasn't my responsibility to be the one who stepped out on a limb. It wasn't my responsibility to accept that people might not understand my decisions. I wanted everybody to like me. And I still do. I still want people to like me. But what I've realized it a lot in this business too. Not everyone is going to agree with you. Not everyone is going to like your methods. But it's your responsibility in the end. And then the people that love you, the people that support you, they'll be there for you. But only if you accept responsibility and stand up on your own and say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I know you're scared. I'll carry you with me. That's it. That's the reality of what we do. And I know it's voiceover. I know you might be doing a cartoon character, someone selling a carrot to a rabbit. Okay? But it's more than that. This is our life and our futures if we want it to be. And it can change your life. Take it from me. It has changed my life, my family's life, my entire family, not just my wife and my kids, my parents, my grandparents, my wife's parents. It's changed all of our lives. And it can change yours too. All right, listen. So that was emotional. Trying to hold on without getting teary-eyed myself talking to you guys. I want to thank you. If you've been listening this long, bless your heart. Episode 200. Oy, oy, oy. All right, listen, everybody. What I'd like you to do, all right, is I'm going to be giving away two different hour sessions, all right, of coaching with me. And what I'd like you to do is head over to iTunes and leave a review. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what type of review to leave, but leave a review. And everybody, after this date that I publish this, I'll take those reviews, I'll put them in a hat, and I will go ahead and announce them on the next podcast, okay? And it'll probably be, I'll try to give this a good week or so people can leave a review and get time. But I will announce this on the podcast, and then, we'll message each other, and we'll get you set up and get a meeting with you. And it might be all you need to just get, jumpstart your business, and I'm here to help. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of VO's journey for 200 episodes of this podcast, which in essence has literally been documented my life over the last 3 years. And I hope we're just going to keep on going for 3 more, 6 more, 10 more, 20, 30 more, 100 years. You know what? We're going to live forever. Let's live forever. All right, you guys, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of VO's journey and this 200th episode. Talk to you soon. All right. Peace.